Phoenix set a heat record this June with the average temperature of 95.3 degrees, making it the hottest June on record. But Phoenix hasn't been alone this summer in terms of extreme heat. The Pacific Northwest has suffered through two serious heat waves, and on a day in early August, the National Weather Service reported more than half of all Americans were living under a heat advisory or excessive heat watch or warning. And my next guest says there's no safe place in the U.S. or on the planet anymore from heat. Ladd Keith is an assistant professor of planning at the University of Arizona. He joins me. And Ladd, you and a colleague recently wrote an op-ed about this in The Hill, essentially saying heat is not just a Southwest issue anymore, but one the entire country needs to be thinking about. Do you get the sense that places that are maybe not used to extreme heat are starting to think about it?
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, I think the Pacific Northwest heat wave this summer was a wake-up call for many of those places. I think there has been folks sounding the alarms across the country that those more temperate, cooler cities should be preparing. But I do think that the heat wave this summer was a wake-up call for many of those that thought that climate change was a future problem that they didn't have to deal with now.
Are there particular parts of the country, you mentioned the Pacific Northwest, which obviously had a few really bad incidents this year. Are there other places across the country that aren't used to having extreme heat that are starting to really see it come up now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say if they haven't seen it come up yet, they will soon. So there's no safe place in the United States or even on the planet at this point that's safe from heat. And whether it's kind of chronically increasing temperatures where those averages are just slowly rising, or whether they get hit with one of those previously unprecedented heat waves like we saw this summer. I think that cities really need to be on the lookout for both of those.
So what should cities be doing? I mean, there's obviously sort of the scientific processes that people can try to do to reduce the effects of climate change. But in cities where they are starting to experience heat, what should those places be doing to try to help people deal with it?
So what I look at with my research is heat governance, and that's looking at the actors, strategies, processes, and institutions that guide decision-making for managing and addressing heat in the city. And what we're really looking at is that cities should both try to mitigate heat, so reduce the impact of the built environment on things like the urban heat island effect, but they also have to manage heat when it happens. And both whether it's an extreme heat wave or whether it's just those chronically increasing temperatures. And so that really involves all actors, urban planners, emergency managers, public health folks. And what we're seeing right now is that most of those disciplines are currently siloed, and a lot of those strategies that cities are using aren't very well coordinated and therefore not very effective yet.
Well, it seems like such a simple thing to get different people to talk to each other from different departments, but it sounds like what you're saying is that's not necessarily happening and it really, really needs to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like to compare it to how we deal with things like, you can imagine, hurricanes or flood risk, where, you know, when you see a hurricane coming, you have, you know, certain departments kind of get ready and go into place and they react to that hurricane and we have a plan for what happens afterwards. But even flood risk, we have floodplain management departments across the United States. And really in the United States, we don't have a similar infrastructure for thinking about heat, let alone dealing with it.
So what's the best way for cities to handle that? Is it a matter of having like a Department of Heat or a heat mitigation office that can really coordinate with all the different other agencies and people that need to be a part of the solution?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think there's no right answer right now because it is such an emerging risk that cities historically haven't dealt with very well. But we are seeing inklings of what cities are trying to do to start to deal with it. So Miami-Dade County earlier this year made national news by appointing the world's first chief heat officer. So that's a single staff person for Miami-Dade County who's kind of the point of contact for all things heat related. And then of course the city of Phoenix has budgeted an office of heat response and mitigation. And I think the important difference between those two efforts is the chief heat officer is supported by foundation funding, which is a temporary position, but the city of Phoenix has actually put ongoing resources into this office of heat response and mitigation. So I think, my guess would be that the office approach that the city of Phoenix is using will be a little bit more effective just because it does have that money invested into it.
One of the things that you write is that basically saying that larger cities are starting to make progress here. You say that smaller and medium-sized communities are at serious risk of falling behind. How serious is that risk that cities that maybe don't have as much money or aren't able to set up a heat office like Phoenix has done? What are the ramifications for them?
Yeah, so that is a big concern of mine, and it's not just limited to heat, but actually across all climate change impacts. We're seeing that the smaller cities, of course, just don't have the resources or the expertise or the capacity to deal with these impacts as they're increasing. And so while those more well-resourced cities like Phoenix, Tucson, you can imagine even Flagstaff, may have the resources to dedicate specific staff people and plan for heat in a very coordinated way in the future, a lot of the smaller towns and municipalities aren't going to have those resources. And so I think that's really where state support comes in and federal support comes in to help provide those resources and information and even help provide the capacity to help them manage those heat events when they do occur.
For those cities and states that are thinking of doing this, and I guess maybe even those that aren't yet thinking about doing it, how quickly do they need to get on this and start working on this?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say yesterday. We're already so far behind in how we plan and manage heat. You know, and I think the Pacific Northwest heat wave again was just a wake-up call with the fact that these previously unprecedented temperatures aren't a future concern, but they are literally happening today in places that haven't experienced them before. So I think as soon as possible, we need to start making more aggressive progress on this.
Do you think, though, that as this becomes more and more of an issue that affects cities across the country, that it really becomes more of a national issue and less of a regional issue or one that just affects certain parts of the country?
Yeah, I would hope that our awareness increases faster than the risk is growing. And so far, we're still behind with the awareness part of that. The other part that I'm a little bit concerned about is I am starting to see media and politicians look at heat as an acute risk. And so that's where it's kind of being framed more as an extreme heat event or a heat wave like the Pacific Northwest only. And I think one thing to keep in mind is that heat is also a chronic risk where it's those slowly rising average temperatures also have a lot of health impacts and impacts across urban systems. And in fact, in Arizona, many of our deaths come outside of heat waves. And so I think making sure that we, as awareness grows, that we're looking both at chronic and acute heat risk is really important.
All right. That is Ladd Keith, an assistant professor of planning at the University of Arizona. Ladd, nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.